Welcome, everybody, to the Bizarre Briefing for September 2019. I'm Bryce Castillo, your host, hoisting you up into the podcast.
Nice save. Nice save.
As always, joined with Brant Hughes.
Hold it off. Hi, that's me.
We got John Ryle.
Hello.
We got David Rowan.
How are you?
And you got Jacob Merrill.
I'm here too.
That's it. It's a full house tonight.
Mm-hmm. A new fuller house.
Yep. Whoa. A new full house, aka our fuller house.
Mail that to yourself. Copyright it right now.
This is our behind the scenes show where we talk about the YouTube channels that we do, the podcasts, the store, shoots and editing, community management, all sorts of good stuff. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. How's everybody doing?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
I'm doing all right.
I was kind of figuring out who would be the Fuller House characters. I was like,
I've never seen Full House.
Had to be Full House, and I think Brant is definitely Bob Saget.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
I've got to be Dave Coulier.
Okay.
And am I Jesse?
And then you're Jesse John.
Yeah, John's got to be.
And then Jacob here is
all the kids.
There you go.
Yeah, all of the kids.
It's just the other one.
I'm going to walk past the fact that I was not given a character. So.
Well, you're all the way over there.
So we are in a new space. You might be able to hear it just a little bit. Mm. I think the audio should be pretty good today because all you guys are next to each other. We don't need a lot of monitors, but we are in the new studio, like we said last episode. Yeah. We're in the 7 Acre Schwoods Diamond Club Studio.
I know. It's like we said we were going to do something. And we did it.
And it's Christmas in 2 weeks. And we got in on time.
That's right. We are here in the new studio. This is our second day of podcasting. We've got Night Attack after this. We did Weird Things and Cord Killers, which we'll talk about a little bit later. It's working. Hey, yeah. Guys, it's working.
Yeah.
So I've been in the weeds in putting the studio together. Impressions, everybody, thoughts?
I think it's cool. I feel like there's a lot of, I guess I don't really know the utilization for the space yet, but I feel like the other half of this room is pretty underutilized.
It is.
So I'll be interested to see what that is. But so far this is working out decently. I feel like we got a little bit more, we're not so claustrophobically crammed up in a spare bedroom anymore, which is nice.
Yeah. I like that. We got room to grow.
Yeah, it is nice. And so we did the podcasts yesterday, and after everything, Andrew Heaton was still around. My TV was still around. Brian was still around. And so they played a lot of the VR games.
Sure.
And so like, So in this big studio space, which if you've seen us talk about it on Modern Rogue, you kind of have a sense of what this big space is. Or if you saw the noise treatment episode, which we'll talk about in a little bit, this is that space. The front half is basically the podcast studio, kind of recreating a version of the podcast studio that we had at Brian's house.
Right.
And then the other half is more or less empty. But the other half is a very good size to do VR stuff. It is legitimately a lot of room.
I did play VR for the first time ever.
Yeah, in here?
It was awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, and having room for it is a very specific benefit of having a large space like this. But certainly we have a lot of room to grow. The set now can accommodate 4 people in such a way where it looks manicured in terms of this much space. Like we probably, as much space as you guys have now, which is kind of significant compared to the one mic stuff that we do.
We upgraded the table.
We did get a new table, but
that's true. I like it.
All the stuff around the edges of the space are opened up, right? There's no a bunch of wires for all these little things. You know, the sort of makeshift lighting, the backlighting, all that stuff is kind of tucked away from the active filming area.
Yeah, the old studio is pretty much what you saw on camera was from wall to wall of where we were. Mm-hmm. And so now there's definitely a little bit of room.
Yeah. Mm. So it's great that we have a lot of room. We're running into a bunch of stuff. Like, for example, like the spot where you guys are at and where Brian sits is probably maybe 3 feet further away from the desk space than it normally is.
The cable.
Which means that we have some cable issues in terms of our runs are just not that long.
And the screens are so much smaller.
the screens are smaller, but also the big screens that we had have not made the transition over here because there's no wall to hang them up on like they normally would. So we'll probably get some sort of stand or maybe another Visa mount here for a big TV. Because like we have the chat on screen, I'm sure you guys can't read it at all, right?
Bryce is the something
Olsen twins.
The Olsen twins.
Okay. I can read it from here. I have decent eyesight, but I've also got it pulled up on my laptop.
I see. So you're cheating.
That's basically what you're saying.
No, I'm kidding.
It actually shows up faster on the monitor. So
yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of where we're at now. I was saying this a little bit during the After Things podcast. You can get it at weirdthings.com. That my main goals and constraints were to get us to a functional space within the 4 days that I had between my Wednesday day of editing and Monday of shooting.
Right.
To get us to something that'll work without needing to buy anything or go and make hardware store runs or whatever. And so we managed to cleanly recreate the space, plus expand it a little bit. So if you're watching the video version, that normally we have just the bifold, which is the fake cement and then the perforated or the corrugated plastic behind them. But apparently they brought over all of the other panels that Brian has in his garage. So there are a few more over there in the corner. But we now have another bifold that is two corrugated plastic pieces. So it allows us to expand the space while feeling consistent, but in a way that we had not been able to before.
Right.
And there's a little bit of depth there because the two bifolds kind of overlap each other.
We could have a surprise guest come out to greet David.
You could walk out from it. So it's pretty cool with that too.
Bring out Will Smith.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
And then, next steps. I've been thinking a lot about it because we were talking, like I mentioned, we were talking about it yesterday on the show. And, for me, in terms of what to do with the space, I want it to be versatile because there's a chance any amount of this space gets used for Scam Nation stuff, Modern Rogue stuff. And I want it to not be so permanently affixed where, we can't do other shoots in here or we can't reconfigure stuff around. Mm-hmm. That can be tough if you're trying to come up with a new purpose, right? If we decide, we're going to purpose build like a talk show set, like that is a lot of materials and a lot of resources, and keeping it portable and I don't know, there's just a lot. I think for me, the next big things I would like are unique backgrounds for each of the podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so Cord Killers has a set, Night Attack has a set, Weird Things has a set. And even if it's a very lighter version of something like these bifolds, where it's either just a texture thing or something we can do with lighting that doesn't require us to have like three discrete preset up sets, mm-hmm. right? Three permanent set stages, basically. Something where it can be modular and portable. That would be, I think, ideal for me because when it comes to the podcast, most people don't watch the video,
right?
Just across the board. And so it's important that, the important thing is audio, which we're still working out. And then the video stuff is the video stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that also is why I want to make sure this space can be used for other shows, the video and the YouTube channels.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys have ideas or any like weird thoughts of ways we can use this extra space?
Yes.
Yeah. There's plenty. Yeah. Yeah. No, go ahead, John.
Go. Yeah.
Immediately I would love to add like a pipe, even a small like pipe grid, like over we are. So you could just do options of lighting like remotely.
Yeah, a lighting grid would be great. We could they have lighting boards and that would be really cool. We had talked about maybe finding someone who is like an expert lighting designer and figuring out a solution for us. That would be cool and would certainly save a lot of time. You know, a lot of the lights behind you guys now are either not colored or they're taped on gels. An early thought I had was, well, maybe we can rig a modular gel system so at least the different shows can have different colors, but we're not even at that point yet because we need to get gels and figure out how we would make it that it's not just taping everything every time. Hmm. Lighting system would be great. David, it sounded like maybe you had
just little things. I mean, maybe just slight adjustments. I'm sure it'll all kind of come together as it gets used more and more. My obsessive compulsive order sees a lot of cable management.
Yeah, cable management is going to be a big thing. And talking about my priorities, like, that is at the bottom of
the course.
List.
I mean, if it works,
let's go
with it for now. Yeah.
And it's not like back in the bedroom where behind the computers is almost completely dark and no one is looking over there now. Now it's like very visible. And so I need to look into what's possible because we have three different computers all hooked up together, plus audio stuff, power, networking, and figuring out what the best principles in terms of that stuff is. Because normally I'm not a big cable management, obsessive person, but also I do want it to look good while also being flexible. So
sure. If you ever need help with that, I would be willing to help because I have a lot of fun with that.
I'm officially extending my hand in help.
Okay. I'm not saying I'm good at it, but I do enjoy bringing order to the chaos.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Samesies, but he can take it.
He just got under the wire. Yeah, just beat you on that one.
You could get a big pull down scroll for this background.
That was a very early idea that Brian had.
Oh, really?
Was we would make a track system, and there would be like a photo portrait space, and you would just slide out the background that you wanted. But now that I'm thinking about it, the idea of like different backgrounds for different shows, that would be
really easy.
It'd be very easy, very slim. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't a physical space, then there would be space to move around background lighting a lot. Maybe we should relook into that. I don't know, man. I don't know. So that's HQ. So speaking of HQ, there are other improvements that have gone on, right, John?
Yes. Were you thinking of something?
next topic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I realize you can't see the dock from
the IKEA. Oh, no, I can. It's literally in front of me. I just wasn't paying attention. Yes, me, Brant, and Jason Murphy went shopping yesterday. Hmm. We went to IKEA, and we got some giant desks for the office, and we got this new table for here. And we got some trash bins and some other stuff. And I went to Costco myself and I got some big ass shelves for all of our equipment in the equipment office room because we had this giant 200 pound desk taking up like 1/4 of the space that was just a complete waste of space. So we got rid of that and I brought in some shelving and now it looks great.
Yeah. The new shelves look great. The new desks that you guys got look really, really nice.
Yeah.
So presumably that will be kind of where Brant and John, you two will do some work out of here from?
Probably.
Question mark?
Probably John before myself.
Yeah. I plan on moving in fairly soon.
Yeah. Because I think the only thing that rooms, it's still hot here in Texas.
It is.
And that room, I guess, is not hooked up to the AC output. So it doesn't get any of the really great AC that's going on in the space. And there's been talk about getting a window AC unit. But that's still not quite in existence.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's a window unit that is that size.
I bet you can find a small thing.
Adjust.
Yeah.
A small one and expand.
Yeah. Just cut a bigger hole.
Make a bigger window.
Yeah.
Let's see. Any other We got a. There's a refrigerator. If you talk to Brian, that's pretty much the top of his list. In terms
I
of,
like it.
It's nice. And so yeah. Apparently they had to get. There is a freezer fridge combo on the property. It's out in the steel building because it's too big for the space that they set aside here.
It's too bad it's not refrigerating the steel building.
It probably could be. You just open those doors up, just keep it running all day. That steel building is still fairly hot. So they had to get a custom, I don't know if it's custom, but they just had to get a smaller fridge. So it's pretty much a like drink fridge from like a convenience store.
Yeah.
And so it's got a glass front. Yeah, you can see through. It has a space for a custom lighted sign up top. So I think also one of Brian's top favorite things is that we can put just a logo there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And he really wanted a fridge with a clear open front because he believes that a closed up kind of fridge is where lunches go to die forever.
I believe it. Well, I feel that way about like produce. If I have produce in the fridge and I just can't see it, then I'm much less likely to eat it before it goes bad or whatever. That's just how my brain works.
I guess so. But I think that's also why offices will do like, hey, on Friday, we don't know what this is.
We will need our own personal refrigerators. Like in the office, we'll need a mini fridge.
Oh, don't worry. There's like 8 of them around.
Yeah.
Here. So I'm sure there's space for it. I don't know the hang up on like we can't have leftovers in here. That's gonna make us look bad. That's very weird. That's very weird, I think, to me. So those are some of the HQ improvements.
You know, the refrigerator, the old warehouse, often had stuff that stayed in it for a very long time.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe he was thinking about that sort of thing.
I guess so. Though also that's basically a mini fridge.
It is, but I mean, he might have just been like, oh, I remember how people put stuff in there, and it would, like, why do we have a thing of honey in there?
Mm-hmm. There's no. Well, sometimes you need biscuits. Honey. You never know. You might need honey.
Did you get the images, Bryce?
Yeah, we got a few images here of got the desks here. These are really, really nice desks.
Yeah, I made sure they were solid, genuine wood, so they could handle as many monitors as we wanted to cram onto them.
Yeah. Apparently, like, IKEA just, like, holds you over a fire on the price of legs.
Yeah, because each desk, like the actual tabletop of the desk was $100 a piece, and then each individual leg was $30.
That's how
and
they I'm, get you.
Yeah, I'm like, well, does that mean 4 for $30? It's like, nope, each individual leg.
Jeez. And then you treated them with mineral oil.
Yeah, I gave them a mineral oil bath. Check it out.
It looks good. Have you considered staining them?
I think they look pretty good.
I think they look good, but that's not a terrible idea. I don't know anything about staining except you just rub some liquid stuff on it and it changes the way it looks.
You just got to do it outside. You just got to make sure you do it outside. But it would be easier to do it now versus...
Well, it sort of depends on what you want your experience to be.
Yeah, if you want to have a good time. Yeah. And then here's a photo of the
Yeah, and our equipment now fits all nicely on one big-ass shelf thing.
Yeah, it's nice. Or the change is that there's usable interior space.
Yes.
Because the footprint is bigger for this compared to the old desk, but we can put stuff under there. There's extra, there's a mid-shelf on here.
Yeah, it also works as a workbench, so we didn't lose any surface area.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was a big thing, because that was always a thing, especially when the equipment was in the garage, in Brian's garage. Mm-hmm. I was like, I got to like be kneeling down and dig through this backpack of stuff that I need to find. It's it's a degrading thing. it's not so much the physical exertion. It's honestly a little like, come on, can I just put this on a fucking table, please?
Right.
And I guess hashtag privilege. I don't know what you guys have ever been through. So the moment you're complaining about no surface area, I'm like, we'll just get a table. Brian will just get a table, obviously. And
yeah,
hey, you weren't here for chairs.
Yeah,
you missed when there were no chairs.
We went so long with no seating arrangements anywhere.
And this was when we were shooting at the HQ that Scam Stuff works out of. Because now you guys have chairs.
Yeah, there were no chairs.
There were not chairs.
No, because all of the stools were being used to hold up the safe.
You're right. The one stool that we had was holding up the safe, or the guys would be seated at the one IKEA, that those blue IKEA chairs that kept breaking.
Right. Yeah. That was what was there when I got there. They were $17 chairs from IKEA.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so Brian and Jason would have chairs, and they'd be like, "I don't know what the problem is." Yeah. And we would just be like, "Guys, we're standing here for 6 hours trying to shoot this stuff. Give us a chair." Yeah.
And then, I don't know, we don't want to use the fancy... I always felt weird using the very nice chairs that the cleaning place attached has.
Oh, right.
Near the front.
They're kind of like this one, right?
Yeah. They're just fancy home chairs, basically.
I had no problem using those.
Sure. I always felt weird.
Chair's a chair, man.
I think all three of the main chairs there now are all donated.
Oh, really?
The two nicer ones came from Jason, and I forgot where the black one came from.
Oh, interesting.
I think it was also a contribution.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
I don't know if this is a forever solution, but lately what seems to have been working is I just buy the thing and I invoice Brian for it later.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is how it should work, basically.
But yeah, I've always been wildly uncomfortable spending other people's money. You should have seen like the physical turmoil that came across me when we had to buy all of the production equipment for the first time, because it was just like, okay, let's buy all of these cameras, let's buy all of these lenses and everything. And Brian was just like, oh yeah, just fill out the checkout cart and buy it, and it's all good. And I was like, I'll fill out the checkout cart and I'll let you buy it. I'm not going to buy this.
That is something that you get over at Scam Stuff. I had the same sort of apprehension up front.
Because you buy stock. And
all the time. Yeah. And then now I'm just like, eh.
Money.
Yeah, we'll it's just. Yeah.
Money. Though it's interesting with because like the inventory, like you're going to sell. It's a very like one-to-one transaction, right? You buy it and it's got immediate value.
Right. But like even if the price of something that we buy, like an original piece or something, has gone up. Mm-hmm. Like once upon a time, it might have been like, hey, I'm going to run it by Brian and make sure that this thing we used to pay $18 for, we're paying $22 for. And now I'm like, it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it took me years to get comfortable and not feeling guilty buying fast food, just because I was like, even though it's food, you have to live. Right. But I was just like, I don't like spending my own money for a long time. And then now I'm super not comfortable spending other people's money.
Yeah, I will say what's changed is on the individual level, it's fine. But in my head, I have like this tally. And if it's like, I've spent $20,000 in the last 2 weeks, that's when I'll start going like, it'll be weird. Yeah. Then like buying toilet paper will be hard. Maybe like, I don't know, I've just gone over.
Uh-huh. I'm the same way Brant. With you for or with you like on fast food, like I don't go out and eat a lot, and partially just to save money. I like to cook, but also it's obviously way more economical to cook, and so I always have to like be very considerate of when I like even go to Taco Bell and just be like, well, you know, it's. I don't have a chance. Either, like this part of the week, I'm not going to even have a chance to get a meal. So that's when I really should go and spend $8 on tacos or something.
Yeah. I mean, I had like 3 light bulbs burn out in the last month or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I really need some light bulbs because my apartment is much darker now. But I'm kind of like, I could hold off for another month.
Please do not become echolocation. Please do not become like a bat. Please, like,
that would be so cool.
It would be very bad.
It would be very cool though.
So Waffleophagus in the chat asks, does Brian not have a business credit card that we can access for stuff like this? I believe he does.
That's what we use. Yeah.
Yeah. The Scam Stuff runs through a business credit card, but
it's just an Amazon gift card. He just loads that up, and then
some stuff we do through gift cards. But it's like on the production side, we don't typically like before this property place, we were not buying a lot of stuff just for our production uses generally.
Right.
So that routine of needing money and getting it and or that. Is a relatively newer thing for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the last week, I've spent like over $1,000 getting stuff for HQ.
Oh wow!
Yeah, there's also like a real big thing with me of going, well, if it were my money, I would know what my limits are, mm-hmm. But if I'm spending somebody else's money, I have no idea. Right. If we're so strapped for cash that we're pumping out more episodes of Modern Rogue just to get sponsorships, then it's like. hey, maybe we don't need to spend, you know, X amount of money on something that we could hold off on for another 3 months or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I feel that's kind of the same place that I'm in, because I'm not clued into the financials of this place at all. Like, whatever the fundraising goal is for the Monroe headquarters fundraiser, I don't know what it is.
Me neither.
I mean, I think very publicly he hasn't said a number, just so that there's not a number, which is kind of the opposite of... we're kind of doing all of the opposite of all the best practices things like Kickstarter says, like, you know, have a goal you can attain, because that makes people feel comfortable, and have a time limit so people feel pressure.
Well, I think we don't have
either of those.
I think his fear in revealing any specific number is that, oh, so you got to that number, therefore everything's done.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's like a lot of Kickstarters have learned the lesson of, oh yeah, we're not actually done. We know we said that was the number.
The stretch goals and whatnot.
Yeah.
To get people to still contribute. Yeah, I think that's part of it. I mean, I do know the rough number that we have achieved. So thank you to everyone who participated.
Yeah,
but thank you for giving us
it has been
or
really
have
well.
We?
Yeah. That's the next thing that we do. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
I guess since we're on the topic of it, the fundraiser was so nebulous to me, just because it was like, we're 96% of the way there to a number that you don't know, and also the goal is to get us moved over here, I think, but also
we've been saying we've gotten 90% of the way here. It was very vague in a way that felt, because it seemed like from the initial outset, like, were we going from 90% funded to 100% funded? We're going from 0% funded to 100% funded?
The former, from 90 to 100, yep.
And so...
because, like, we have the space, we have everything, except, like, oh, if we don't finish some of these major expenditures, we can't finish moving in.
Sure.
Well, it all came together really quickly, and the actual math was worked out on the back of a napkin at Torchy's Tacos.
Yeah.
So
sounds about right.
I feel like as we... as we worked through it, we kind of made adjustments, and things may have sounded vague in the beginning.
And speaking of quickly, the video we shot and turned it around in, like, I want to say almost 24 hours.
You won't believe how much HQ has changed.
Yeah, like Brian was like, John, can we get this done like now, like today? I'm like, let me follow you around with a camera, and I will let you know how fast I can get it out. Mm-hmm. Because he came to the right guy, because I do not mind cutting some of those corners. But, oh, man, it was rough. It was,
Yeah, I think we all have that, like, ideally, we would get started on something early and be done early.
Right.
And then that happens.
Then there's a lot of, like, thinking, let me mull it over, let me get back to you.
Right, and then it's finally like, oh, it's crunch time. Let's make it all come together in 24 hours. And but the thing is I, as someone who just in my personal life does sort of the same thing, like, you know, it's like you have to write a paper, and then you're like, I'll get around to writing the draft. And then it's the night before, you're like sitting in a cold bath to keep you awake as you're writing the paper.
Yeah,
you always think it's going to be different, it's going to be better the next time. But once you sort of learn that you can function in crisis mode and it might actually work for you, it's hard to, I think, break that habit. But I think it's a noble goal to get into just better planning and better execution.
Yeah. Actually, remind me about that when we talk about the movie draft in a minute.
About cold baths and writing papers.
Is that the move? Cold baths?
Cold baths.
Oh.
Okay. I always just load up on caffeine and just like keep the mind active.
Caffeine and sugar, you're gonna crash.
Well, once you get to a certain point, you gotta really hit the water hard.
Uh-huh. The cold water.
Yeah, the cold water in a bath.
Or the amphetamines.
Well,
Adderall? I mean, no Adderall here?
Good. It's that. I think that might be a controlled substance.
No comment.
I have a prescription.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. I didn't mean to.
How dare you?
It is a medication for some people. There's always been a lot of that here in terms of just like being hand to mouth with everything. And for all the good and bad that brings, right? A lot of flexibility, but also not a lot of chance to pre-plan or things that need an extraordinary amount of time.
Yeah. Favorite last-minute strategies, Jacob?
For the fundraiser?
No, just in general.
Any last minute when you're working at the last second.
He's a student, so he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just wait till like 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. if it's due the next morning without having done any of it. So then you're like, I'm really running out of time. Mm-hmm. I have to go ham. And then 5 hours later, you're done.
And then you go ham.
Huh. Yeah.
You have no other option.
That's right. Actually what I do.
Really?
For most of my college assignments.
I think for most people, it's exactly what they do. Is it successful for you?
Yeah, I can only really do good work under pressure.
Mm. Well, my thing with the video, even though it was totally rushed, I was like, because I know he had bigger ambitions for our phases, that little animation you see, our phases of phase 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. I know Brian had big ambitions for that. I'm like, no, none of that is going to fit into our time whatsoever. But if I could learn one cool little animatic for that, if I could just learn. And so I learned this liquid drop effect in After Effects. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that looks kind of much cooler than just nothing. So sure, that.
Like, yeah, bloop, okay. Bloop. Yeah, it looks like water moving up.
I don't feel too bad about turning this in half-assed.
Yeah.
So if you add a little pizzazz, it's like turning in an essay that you clearly did no work on. If you could add an epigram, that'll bump you up one grade level.
Oh, epigram.
An epigram or an epilogue?
Epigram, a quote by a famous person that quasi encapsulates the essay.
Oscar Wilde, if you
could. I thought that was the big first letter you put on the chapters of pages.
Smart.
It sounds like it could be.
Yes. It'd have to be.
Like in a game of Balderdash or something, you could say that as what an epigram is. People are like, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
As somebody who's really come to appreciate learning over the past few years, I would recommend all college students actually do the work.
What?
Oh, sure.
And
last second or not, definitely do the work.
Sure.
I don't know what you guys are saying right now.
So
next topic.
So, David, Jacob, you guys are here.
Correct.
The representatives of the store, how is the store doing? Scamstuff.com, et cetera.
Okay, I'll do this one. I'll toss it over to you in a second. Store's doing well. We're kind of maintaining like what we did last year about this time. Mm-hmm. So no big gains, no big losses. We're hoping to have a lot of new products come out in the next 4 to 5 months, where we probably didn't have so many in the last 4 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. And one big product coming out in the next couple of weeks. If you are familiar with the timeline of the store generally, you might be able to guess what that could be. Mm. And so, yeah, we're ramping up for that. And then it's just going to be
Pyro 3.
Pyro 3. This time it's personal. You just throw fireballs at people's face. We'll edit that out. We'll edit a laugh in for that.
I'm Googling audience laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way over the top.
We do have a Pond 5 asset that's just audience laugh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
that's great. It's just getting ready for Black Friday.
Yeah,
Black Friday. Which is going to be, 6 weeks from now, 7 weeks from now?
Yes.
8 weeks from now.
Yes, 2 months. The end
some
of,
integer
end of
number
September,
of weeks from November. Now. Yeah. And that actually takes a lot to get ready for because a lot of inventory comes in beforehand, gets prepped, and then goes out the door all at once.
What is the Black Friday deal going to be? Can we spoiler territory?
Yeah, well, generally, we try to give everyone the best prices on things of the year.
Mm-hmm. Good prices on Black Friday.
Yeah, not the worst prices.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll see how that plays out.
You ruined the surprise, David.
But we can also do things like bundle things together, and if there's something in particular that we only have like a few left of, we can give like kind of a clearance price on that. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of little things we can do. Usually we start a little early and then go a little late past Cyber Monday, and it tends to be a good time. So if you're thinking about getting anything, don't buy it now.
Maybe 2 months is a long time to ask people to
wait. There's a couple of things that are going to be released between now and then. And, if you want to make sure that you get one, you have to buy it before Black Friday, because we can't guarantee that we're going to have everything on Black Friday. We've sold out of things that have no known timeline for coming back, like the Rogue's Tavern. Yeah. You know, we're at a tavern. Sorry, if you didn't get a tavern, they're not going to just magically show up on Black Friday.
Or stuff like the Revenge is back, but that's always very hot.
The Revenge is back, but it says that we would need more by the time Black Friday comes. So that's another one that actually is probably a good example. If you wanted one, I would say get that now because they might not be here.
And those are new and improved, right? We have a new production of those.
Yeah, just down the road near San Antonio, we're having them done as opposed to up in the Northwest. And we've got new materials that we're working with. Jacob has made probably a piece of every Rogue's Revenge in the weaponization part. You want to talk about that? No?
I also hand-tied most of the tags. Ash did some of them too.
Oh, nice.
And we stamped all the tags. I think I stamped every single tag. So
yeah,
that part, that comes from me.
So if you like your stamp, you know, send Jacob a
hand
quick
stamped,
thank you
note. So, okay, here's a question I have. Because for as long as I've been here, stamps have been a big part of the graphic design of Scam Stuff. I think probably going back to maybe before John, or going back as far as I know, things have mostly had a stamp aesthetic for stuff.
Yeah, well, you need them if you're going to mail them. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, not stamps, but like ink stamps, of course. Yeah. Is that still being used for our original products?
It's amazing how, you know, you take a tag and it's just a blank manila tag, but you put like a VB stamp on it and it just makes it pop. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just one of those things where when you see a box that's blank, rather than, you know, just slap a printed label on it, adding the stamp just gives it a little bit of an extra handcrafted vibe,
yeah.
And I feel like I remember us like ordering some of those stamps pretty much right after I got hired, so like super early in Scam Stuff's life.
Mm-hmm. How I'm sure stamping as a design element must be way more economical than even like stickers.
Well, or leaflets, maybe, because the ink is so cheap. But there is a lot more time involved in stamping. Oh, sure. Yes, this one right here is forearms. Or when he first got hired, his forearms were half the size they are now.
Actually, I don't think I'm benefiting. Yeah. I was gonna say I think I'm probably gonna develop carpal tunnel soon.
Oh, that's the spirit.
That doesn't show up on profit sheets, so it's not a big deal.
Every hour, you take 10 minutes and take a quick. Take a stick. Stand
glides,
up.
Just do a little bit of this.
Do the wigglies. Get your wigglies out.
Because it does usually wind up being like we just got a shipment of 200 boxes.
They need stamps.
And just do all 200 of them right now.
Mm-hmm. Keep your wrists straight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's an interesting little thing because you can apply it to like the package boxes without needing to buy custom boxes and
So I think sometimes too in an earlier iteration of a product or if the packaging changes, we might rely on stamping, and then in another iteration we may go let's make a custom box for it or something like that.
Yeah.
I will say that Jacob is really good at stamping. Like, it's those rubber stamps getting an even amount of ink across the board.
And applying it evenly, not doubling it up.
You can't just take the little knob on the stamp and press down, lift up, and hope to have a good enough stamp for Scam Stuff / the Modern Rogue. No, you've got to
consider the entire plane of the stamp.
Your stamp whisperer.
I've actually broken a few of the knobs and had to super glue them back on.
Oh my
And then
goodness.
I get a break because there's wet glue, so I can't use that stamp for a while.
So when his carpal tunnel's acting up, he just breaks the knob. Well, I got to super glue this. So, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, it's just that the steam thing is always an interesting part of the aesthetic of all the stuff that we do. So I just kind of wanted to, I don't know, take a look at all that stuff again because it's nice, and I don't feel like I see that in the stuff that I interact with every day. It feels very bespoke to what we do.
Not to stay on the subject too much longer, but let me tell you about stamping.
Okay.
There's been times where we've had to use like old stamps, but in a new way. And so he's got to make like these cutout patterns where certain things don't come through on the stamp. And it's like, we could probably just order a new stamp, but you know,
we had a stamp that said premium handmade invisible deck, and we wanted just the word invisible.
For the thread kits.
That was always really fun. But we did recently just kind of give a new life to the badassified stamp, which I think we should just put on everything.
Yeah.
Just because it's fun. It's just badassified.
Yeah, just whatever you're getting is going to be badassified.
I put a carve a D into it, so it's like a seal, it's a quality seal, badassified.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it say badassified, like a with a D at the end?
Yeah, it has a D. Yeah.
Oh, it does. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Hey, yeah. Future thinking, forward thinking.
You guys need to get one of those, you know, those like mechanized hammer tools.
Oh, the stamps that automatically ink.
That sounds great too. You like integrate that in there, just slide the thing under, push a button, and
yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Brandon is describing an all-in-one applying thing. You're describing like the mailer template thing.
I'm talking about the tool that blacksmiths use to like press down metal and everything. Get one of those. It's like a mechanized hammer, effectively.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Like one of those presses that that they do all the videos on YouTube with, that crush things.
A really fast hydraulic press.
Oh yeah, hydraulic. Yeah,
we need to mechanize thread cards first. That's.
Oh yeah, if you get a Houdini cell or an invisible thread kit, anything that contains invisible thread in it, just making that card with the thread on it is.
Those are all hand done.
Those are all hand done, and they look like they're machine done because they're that precise.
And that's what I do. Is I promise to David I'll have like 200 by tomorrow. And then I wait until like 2 a.m.
in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, David's expecting me to have 200, time to start.
See, if you add an epigram, David wouldn't know a thing.
Oscar Wilde once said.
just JM.
That's two epigrams.
Yeah.
Two big letters. Yeah. Epigram's the first letter.
And just for people who don't know, going ham is when you just binge watch John Hamm stuff on Netflix.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Accurate.
That's right. Mad Men, 30 Rock.
That's what Urban Dictionary defines going ham.
That's right. Oink, oink. All right. So some other topics here. Let's talk about the podcast very quickly because they haven't changed too much, but we did have a big event day last night. Yesterday we did Weird Things and After Things. Then we did Cord Killers and Spoiler in Time. So that was like our first full day of podcasting here in the new studio. But then at the end of Cord Killers, we had... our twice a year special event, the winter movie draft.
Yes.
And we held it here in the studio, and it was the movie draft is always a very tense time, just because it's a lot of people on Skype, so there's a lot of software side stuff I've got to deal with. There's a lot of writing. I wrote a really long script for all my stuff. We had Mike TV back in studio, so we set up a satellite set over in the empty space for him, which is this shot that the video viewers are seeing right now. On top of all of the other stuff associated with trying to get this space working.
Yeah, and real quick for people who might not know what the movie draft is.
Oh, sure. You were teeing me up. Okay,
yeah, sorry.
So it's like a fantasy football league, but for movies. So they auction off 30. We auction off 30 movies, and they take the domestic total of those movies, and whoever has the best slate at the end of the league period. So I think it's like February. It'll run until February. Wins the season. And so this is our, I actually don't know how, they've been doing this for a very long time now, and they do it twice a year. Mm-hmm. But it was weird. So we were talking earlier about time management, and you know, I have been working on the movie drafts pretty much since I got here. I mean, there are a few years where Brent, you were doing some of the auctioneering stuff, mm-hmm. and I would just do the technical stuff. But at this point, I've kind of taken, you know, doing all the technical, doing the auctioneering, doing co-commissioner work with Eileen Rivera, who is Tom's wife, to, you know, set movies and make policy decisions, which rarely ever happen. But the thing that so the movie draft, especially before me or early days, it was always very like rushed, like less than a week's notice.
Sure.
We need to book people if it's the winter. So Brian, Justin, and Tom always play. And so in the winter draft, it's solo, so you only need to book three other people. When it's the summer, they play in pairs. So that's, you know, whoever Tom's partner is plus four other teams. So that's six people that you're trying to get booked, also with the three guys who are always on it. So for me, it's I've been trying to be a little more ahead of the game, right? If I'm not the bottleneck, then I could feel okay if no one is ready for it. But we had a weird incident where, like, so this season Justin didn't play. Justin Robert Young, who is Brian's co-host on Night Attack, he ended up double booked and just couldn't make it. And it was kind of a weird thing. At first I was very blasé. I was like, whatever, you can't make it. Especially because I had given them 2 weeks heads up. You know, I gave them the movies with plenty of time to plan out stuff. And so it was just kind of unfortunate, I guess, because, you know, they talk about the movie draft every week on Night Attack. You know, right. It is 10 minutes at the end of that show. Part of that is because they both are in it. And so I think they'll both be fine about it, but I don't know. It was definitely a weird moment. And so instead of Justin, he wrangled up Movie League Mike, who writes this feature called The Crumb Dumb, which is like an analysis of things that have happened in the draft, movies that have come out and how well they've done, as well as like predictions of who will win. And so he joined in place of Justin. But yeah, it was kind of a little bit of a weird thing.
I didn't get to catch the episode as it was being broadcast, but it sounds like a real curious thing because it's so like intertwined with so many elements of the show going forward, you know.
Yeah, and you know, Justin has, when I say Brian, Justin, and Tom, I mean they've always been in all of it. So I mean, like, whatever. At the end of the day, it's just this little silly thing. But I don't know. We'll see. We got Justin's blessing to run with the story that he died and that he was cowardly / he was too cowardly to play in this winter draft. So we'll see. But yeah, that was just the sort of thing where it felt like, well, I try to give you guys enough time, set a date so everyone has time to plan and work around it, put it on the calendar. All right, I can't feel bad about it, I guess is where I'm saying, you know.
Do you think he joined in the viewer league?
Have I?
Justin.
Oh, I wonder if he did. He might. Draft.diamondclub.tv/form is where you can play along. So that's the other part of the movie draft is the viewers can buy movies at the prices that they set and try to make the best slate out of that.
It'd be pretty funny if he joined that and then ended up winning the viewer league and then the galaxy brain play of going through and doing that.
Yeah, because the chat realm league always performs better because they have this wide eye view of they're not auctioning the movies, they're just buying them at that price. But a very weird draft. It's not going to be a good winter for movies this season, I don't think. I mean, Star Wars is coming out. Frozen's coming out. There's a Playmobil movie.
Yeah, I haven't really been keeping up with new movie releases lately. So,
but it's crazy because this last summer was very good. I feel like there was a lot of good movies that came out.
Yeah, ever since MoviePass went under, I was like, no more movies. That's it.
Rest in peace to a real one, MoviePass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the podcast. We're going to continue to iterate here at the new studio space for the podcasts and work on making sure that the audio sounds as good as it can, and keep bringing you the shows. Oh, actually, we did have a question in the chat that I wanted to save for this segment. So
is it about stamping?
No, not quite. So Just Another Pilot asks, would the current building, the new studio, make podcasts and videos come out faster? Which I think is an interesting question because certainly on the podcast side, the answer is no.
I feel like it'd be no across the board. but I mean, it just make it more comfortable to shoot them, right?
Yeah, I think comfort is a big thing, because like the AC works here, and now the sound is good in here, so it's a very controlled space compared to shooting outside all summer or shooting out at the Steel Building which doesn't have AC yet.
I want to say it will make it faster, but not measurable by the audience. But for us, it'll be like, oh, cool, we now have a disc station, which, by the way, Brian just hopefully bought the new disc station that'll be here.
Right.
So we'll just literally walk into the equipment room on my station and upload the footage. And so now we have access to it instead of, you know, going the roundabout way of me or Brand taking it home and uploading it through an FTP, you know, via mm-hmm. our home internet. And mm-hmm. so it will be technically quicker, but just in those little sections of the day.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of, for the edited video side of things, I think there'll be a lot of quality of life improvements, mm-hmm. but, you know, still five of my work days is editing the video, and editing the video would be any appreciably different here as compared to at home.
Though I think there's a very hard to quantify amount of productivity that comes out of working out of the home, though, or working not at home.
Yeah.
You know? Yes and no, depending on the type of person.
Sure.
I think some people, I'm going to speak for myself, mm-hmm. When I'm around others, I actually have a tendency to probably be more distracted.
Oh, really?
Or be interrupted by something that's just going to take me off my focus or out of flow or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can see how being here would be great for Brian to be able to go around and see what everybody's doing or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But I can also see how I might be in the middle of something, somebody comes in and goes, hey, what do we do with this? And then you're off to a distraction, whereas if you weren't there, you wouldn't have been distracted in that way, and they might have just figured it out. But I think, you know, it might make sense to just try it and work out the kinks as they show up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it might be something simple as position of where people are in the building.
Hmm.
You know, so if somebody works well around others, then they might be working on a laptop in that common area out there. Mm-hmm. Whereas if somebody wants to go, you know,
well, I'm definitely keeping the doors closed in the equipment room.
Yeah.
There's a when I edit, sometimes I live stream, and I can't imagine anything less productive than that, because I'm just constantly fielding questions and answering
really?
Them. Yeah.
See, I feel like the couple times that I had live streamed editing Scam School, and this was years ago, I was way more productive because I knew people were watching or could be watching.
There is some level of accountability of, I can't just stop working for 30 minutes and just go watch some YouTube videos or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, if I'm like in an editing workflow, I'm always stopping to just like talk to people and explain things to people. Mm-hmm. Whereas I wouldn't be doing that on my own. But I feel like whenever I would do stuff out of Brian's house or whatever, I was always super productive, because that's not where I want to be at all times. Mm-hmm. I would really like to leave.
Yeah.
So if I want to leave, I get my work done so I can go.
It's an interesting twist.
Yeah. And I feel like here there's some element of that. It's maybe a little less heightened, because it's not like, oh, I'm in your tight personal space of your home, but I think I'm always so constantly drawn to home that I just want to be like, okay, let me show up and get my work done, and then I can go.
Mm-hmm. We also had someone asking about 1080 or 4K, and that's not a studio space issue. Moving here has not solved any of those problems. So right now we stream from here out at 720p 60, because the capture cards that we have are pretty old. They mm-hmm. are the capture cards that Brian has had for probably ever,
right?
Basically. And so those capture cards are pretty old. But that also means, like, for 1080, you are doubling the amount of data basically that you are handling compared to 720. And so between the fact that I don't think that these capture cards necessarily can do 1080 60, and the fact that, you know, we have a pretty beefy computer here doing all the switching, and it's relatively recent, we would need a significant amount of technological upgrades to do all of the complicated switching and live producing that we do in 1080, and certainly 4K is not on the table just realistically at all. I have heard that new, even more new computers are arriving or on the way.
Oh.
So maybe that'll be something towards it. But right now there are, the new space doesn't open that up in an appreciable way.
Right.
But yeah, and then as far as how fast the podcasts go, like I you know, Cord Killers and Weird Things, we record them Monday evening. I go home and spend 4 hours and get them out by 2 a.m. So there's literally no way that those could get out faster. There's no, the only way faster would be if someone told me to not eat dinner in the middle of all that, right? And then Night Attack, Cheeto edits and publishes Night Attack. So that's kind of on his schedule and we don't, he's kind of off doing his own thing. So, and I don't necessarily want to take that away from him if we don't have a good reason to, especially because, you know, Night Attack goes late and then Wednesdays are really heavy editing days for me. So, you know, that's its own system. So
it's Monday night, your Taco Bell night?
Oftentimes. Though, no, not Monday night, but Monday afternoon between the podcasts, because I definitely like don't eat here or there's not food here. I guess I could bring a sandwich from home, but no,
what
normally
if
between the podcasts.
The refrigerator.
Okay. Hang on. All right.
Had a clear front to it. Uh-huh. And there's just food in there.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's my idea.
It would depend on what the food is, I guess.
Okay. What if it was just, I was going to say, what if it's Taco Bell, but then it's like, oh, you just got a bunch of cold Taco Bell in there.
Well, but we do have the toaster oven.
Sure.
And soon we're going to have a real oven, right? I mean, we have the vents for it.
Toaster oven sounds like Crunchwrap Supremes can be made. I know too much about Taco Bell. Never mind. Sorry.
I don't know about an oven coming in, John. I know we have a space for an oven. I think we have a space for a dishwasher. I don't.
Yeah, I've heard a desire for a dishwasher.
We have a lot of dishes.
Ooh, what about a dishwasher?
Andrew Heaton is staying here and is going to be here for at least another week. And so.
What is?
Andrew Heaton.
Oh.
He's living here right now.
He's a person.
I see.
So yeah, a lot of that stuff gets used. Okay. We spent a long time on that. So let's get into another topic. How about that?
Okay.
The Discord for Modern Rogue has been in Discord.
Ah, nice.
Hey.
That was a good one.
What's up, Brant? What's good? Or not?
Not the Discord.
We love the Discord.
One of our primary patron rewards for the Modern Rogue Patreon at patreon.com/modernrogue. The $5 tier gives you access to Discord and a few other things. There is a general chat that's publicly viewable, mm-hmm. Whether you're a patron or not, but we have a ton of channels that are only accessible if you are a patron. And then also you can chat and everything. Unfortunately, the Patreon bot that manages role distribution to people who subscribe to Patreon and not has always been really somewhat unreliable, sometimes just slow. It's just weird and peculiar. Mm-hmm. And so I had a patron reach out to me who said, hey, I've been a patron for like a week and I haven't been given a role. Can you look into that? And so internally I was thinking, oh, we'll just give it a couple days and it'll eventually get around to giving you a role. So this was like early to mid week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, you know what? Just wait till Friday when my edit is done. And then go ahead and remind me and I'll look into it, because I know that there are ways to deal with the bot where you can effectively reset it so that it basically rechecks everybody's status and it'll clear up some of these people who get skipped over like that. Mm. And so they reached out to me on Friday and I was like, okay, cool. Let's do this thing. And I haven't done this with the Patreon bot in probably a year and a half or something. It's been a while. I don't have to do it too often. Mm-hmm. And so I went into the Patreon settings and I disconnected the bot and then I tried to reconnect it, which is not the way that I had done it before. I only realized after doing it this way. Mm. The way that I had to do it before was go into each individual Patreon tier of pledging, disassociate it from Discord, reassociate that tier, go to the next tier, disassociate, reassociate, and just keep doing that through all the tiers, and that would work. Instead, I did it in like a full server level or whatever, and now every time I try to reconnect it, it just gives me a weird, like, nondescript failure. And so it stripped all patrons of their roles, and I can't add them back. So now I've just been telling people to let me know if you want your role, and then I manually check Patreon for their subscription status, and then I give them the role.
Jesus. Well, yeah. Hopefully, and you've sent in a ticket for with Patreon's support team.
Uh-huh. And the helpful person who spoke to me just reiterated the submit a bug page to me and then said, I'll send it off to the engineering team. And then
nothing ever happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I've not heard a word back from them in a week and a half, 2 weeks. Uh-huh.
So I would actually recommend, this is not the right way you should do it, but, tweeting whatever case number they gave you to the Patreon support account. Because most of what they do all day is tell people submit a case, but you can say, hey, no one has made any activity on this case and it could be losing us money, or, you know, to say something so that it is very serious, because it's very serious,
right?
And see if that pushes it forward, because I think stuff does legitimately get lost. And we can avoid that happening. If just send a tweet, you know, with a tweet.
Yeah. So it's an ongoing investigation.
Yeah. So that's that. Also Modern Rogue related, shirts. I think we showed off this design last episode, right?
Did we? I don't think we did.
We did.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, it wasn't finalized back then.
Cause we decided it was a, Mars.
It's a Halo.
It was a Halo from the game Halo.
Right. Yeah. That's finalized, and that you have. If you happen to be a patron or somebody who wants that shirt, you have less than a week from the live broadcast date of right now to get in on that $30 patron reward.
Yeah. The end of September.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go. Also, it sounds like there are some new YouTube features, question
filters
mark?
Yeah, there are some comment filters. This is kind of an inside baseball creator. Ooh, sort of thing
inside.
Yeah. This is something that they're rolling out currently. And so basically you can take a look at your comment feed and you can say, hey, I only want to see comments from people who are subscribed to my channel.
Now, does that take away the view from just you or from everybody on looking at
it's
YouTube
a filter
video?
It's not just public view.
Yeah, you're just filtering what you see.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it could be people who are subscribed to your channel or people who are not subscribed to your channel, people who have above a certain threshold of subscribers on their channel. Little things like that.
Yeah. Have you used it too much? I see you've looked, you poked into it at least.
Yeah, I just noticed it today on my personal account. I haven't seen it on the Modern Rogue account or Scam Stuff account or anything. So it's one of those things where they roll it out to like very specific channels and then it eventually gets.
See, but I would like that feature if it was a active comment filter, like sorry buddy, you don't have a certain amount of subscribers, you can't leave a comment.
I think that makes it very tough, though, because even though every YouTube account technically is a channel, so many people don't upload anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
And I'm not suggesting this for the Modern Rogue. I'm thinking my own personal channel. Like, I would love to block people with no subscribers.
I see.
Gatekeeping.
Just across the board. Just.
It sounds like maybe you should just turn comments off.
For a lot of people, I do. Like for a lot of videos, I do. Especially, dare I say, if I have a female actor in my videos, I generally turn the comments off.
Yeah, Scam School and Scam Nation have always had a touchy relationship between commenters and any female participants we have on the show. I don't know if it's just because it's mostly kids, it's a lot of kids who watch, or you know,
it's YouTube. It is the last vestige of the of, you know, of the entitled racist white dude, bro.
Yeah, because like we'll talk about the videos themselves a little bit more when you get to Scam Nation stuff, but. We had a good friend, a local friend of ours, Jess, was in a few videos that we shot for Scam Nation. And, you know, she's a very animated, kind of goofy person. And, you know, she had a few flubs.
Yeah, she was fun.
Yeah. But, you know, seeing comments, she's like, oh, that girl is so wasted. And, you know, she's being a fool. It's like, no, that's who she is. And, a lot of stuff I delete just because if I was not a part of this and I was considering being a part, like on the show as a guest or something, and I saw that's how they let people talk about the people, especially participants who are not teaching anything, who are just, you know, spectators, I would look side eye at it, really, because that's either the comments are a part of our community or they're a thing that is naturally occurring in YouTube. And we take a lot of efforts to curate the comments that are on the videos to various degrees, but it's certainly not a no man's land. It's certainly not a wasteland. I mean, Scam School, part of what made Scam School a big thing was because Brian would respond to the comments back in the day. So I don't think we have the pedigree to say, well, that's just how people online are. And so, I don't know. There's always a weird relationship with women on our channels that I don't appreciate from the commenters.
And that's all channels.
Sure.
And there's definitely been channels that I've like watched a video and been excited about. And I was like, oh, I'm going to subscribe to this channel. This seems like a cool place. And then I go down to the comments and I'm like, maybe I'll just say that I enjoyed this one video and move on with my life because not really a place I want to be.
Yeah, there's no YouTube channel that I can think of that I would want to be a part of the community. Hmm. Certainly not within the YouTube.com ecosystem.
Sure.
That's a new YouTube comment feature.
Yeah. Just real quick. Sure. You guys feel like, is there any like burning feature that you really want from YouTube aside from replace video file?
Replace video file is pretty up there. I'd also like them to replace that logo file, but that's just probably too late for that.
Logo file?
Like the logo of YouTube? I really don't like the typeface of YouTube.
Oh, I see. But just the kind of thinner or the taller font.
It's like somebody stretched Impact or Arial or some Arial Bold or something. I don't know.
I think they changed it a few years ago too.
Well, they did make it better. That's true. Ago. But you know, they also changed the Google thing from the beveled and embossed logo to its current thing. And
the slab.
Someone who likes logos, I feel like they still have some improvement to go.
They should really make it Papyrus.
Papyrus, yeah.
That would be a good
solid choice. Yeah,
that would be a very good April Fool's Day prank for YouTube. Just make the site Papyrus. It's the Papyrus. Then you wouldn't get people in trouble. You wouldn't be deleting people's emails. Yeah. It would be a very safe April Fool's Day prank. Feature requests.
For me, a big one would be multiple audio tracks.
Sure.
So that way it would be a really nice accessibility feature for, you know, we have music in so many of our videos. It'd be nice to have a track that's just vocals, it's no music, because I know some people have a hard time processing audio. Yeah,
they're hard of hearing.
And commentary tracks.
And it would make tracks easy. It would make dubbing really easy for other translations. I know we have fans who dub Modern Rogue videos in Russian, and so it'd be cool to just be like, hey, send us the audio file for that, and we'll slot it into the official thing.
Oh, interesting. I would like, I guess this is what annotations were, but I would like some form of annotations back. I would like a clickable thing on the video that is not the end of the video.
Okay.
Like we do Spoiler in Time. It's a podcast to adjacent podcast to Cord Killers, where they talk about new TV shows and movies and they spoil it and they dissect it. And we use time codes in the description of the videos. So if people just want to skip to a certain thing, they can, but those, especially the past like 12 months, those clickable time code links have been iffy at best.
And you know what I learned about clickable timecode links just recently?
What's that, Brent?
Thanks. If it's in the description, mobile users can't click on it.
Right.
It has to be a comment.
Oh.
If it's a comment,
Wait, what?
If it's a comment, they can click on the timecode and it works.
That's insanity. So I, or chapter selection, a very basic thing you could do.
Chapter selection would be very good. So good.
You know, I think those are very basic things. Yeah, talking about multi-track, I mean, it would probably be something Google would do of like making people bake in their multiple audio tracks in when you upload it. But there are broadcast standards to apply multiple audio tracks to a video. It's not what 99% of YouTubers would do. They are not equipped to handle files in that way.
Sure.
They certainly don't use that file of format. Who knows if, what do they use? Not WebP. WebP is for images, but do they use H.264, 265 on YouTube? The very common high compression video that for video format that YouTube uses wouldn't do that.
Yeah, so. And also then you run into the problem of you can't add additional tracks after it's been uploaded.
Sure.
Because it would have to be baked into the uploaded file.
Right.
Oh, I know a feature I want.
Okay. WebM, I think.
Mobile, when you add like, you know, videos to your queue, like, because I always put my stuff on my TV and I add videos to my queue. Once you have the queue, you can't readjust the queue. You have to literally remove videos or re-add them. Like, whereas like other playlists type things like Google Play, you just drag and drop it and make it move it around.
Yeah.
But with YouTube, you're just stuck with whatever list you made in the order you made it.
Man, if we're opening this up to the YouTube mobile app, please let me turn off the swipe to the next video thing. Mm-hmm. I accidentally swipe to the next video constantly. And it is, I never want to do it. I don't want to do it. And I can't turn it off. And if depending on how long the video is or how long I was watching the video, if I swipe back, it won't bring me back to where I was necessarily. Mm-hmm. I really don't like it. And I don't know why. It's not my use case that I would ever use it. The swipe. If I have autoplay on, I'll let it autoplay. If I see the up next, I'll click the up next. Don't like the swipe. The swipe is bad.
Another thing I would really like is like profiles in one account, insofar as like commenting, so that way I could comment and from the Modern Rogue account, and it could be delineated as Brant the editor who's speaking.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Interesting.
Or alternatively, if there were badges that you could give commenters, so that way I could comment from my own personal account and it could say, hey, this is an official the editor account or whatever.
Yeah.
Just because anything that gets Brian to either comment from his personal account, which he won't do for some reason, or get all of us to have different voices in the main account.
Yeah, and also like roles in general. Like, so if I'm like doing a pipeline with somebody, it's like they have permission to upload, but they can't delete any videos. They can't accidentally do something dumb, you know?
I think they have a basic framework for that.
Do they?
Because
well, so they have a couple of different roles, but basically what it kind of boils down to is like
there's no middle ground between someone who can upload videos and someone who cannot upload videos. If you can upload videos, you can delete them, but there's no like upload only. There's no like non-destructive role like that.
Yeah, there's comment moderator, which you can give somebody access to, which only gives them access to deleting comments, but they don't get to see the comment feed like we would.
So that's
a limited thing. And then there's also, I think there's a community manager role that you can give somebody, and I don't remember exactly what access they get.
I think that's like you can edit playlists and you can log in and see the video feed, but I think that can't like upload videos.
And then the next step up is basically, you can pretty much delete the account if you wanted to.
I think it's a manager account.
It's insane. Of course, then again, I mean, how long has eBay been around? And to this day, the user of the account is the only person who can do anything with the account.
I mean,
like you can't hire anybody or you can't share your account. There can only be one user per account.
Oh,
Okay. And some people have entire businesses based around their eBay.
Sure. Well, that's, yeah. It's very weird. Of course, none of these things are what YouTube's going to do. YouTube's going to do the new upload. Has anybody uploaded a new video using the new upload beta thing?
No, what is that?
It's just a new it's in the Creator Studio beta is, I think, where you access it. It's just a new onboarding page for uploading videos. And it literally is nothing new. It is all just all of the things you would normally do, but it looks different and it has more steps. It's broken stuff up into steps more. And I don't like any of that.
I think
there are no new features in this fucking beta.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, there are a lot of new analytics in the beta, but yeah. I think the one thing that the new upload tool does a little bit better is just showing some of those options that existed in the old stuff, but nobody paid any attention to, because you'd have to go, okay, let me go into advanced options, and then let me scroll down to this thing, and then there were some things that were kind of tucked away and hidden more so than it is with the new upload. But yeah, I don't think there's anything fundamentally different other than a reskin of the same options you already had.
I think the whole new YouTube Creator Studio beta thing is a total boondoggle. I mean, the fact that now that's the default experience for everybody. I don't think you can choose to stay in the classic experience, but they still haven't built out the new studio experience for playlists, cards, end screens. I think transcriptions probably, I don't think are still in the new beta yet. These are major features that you have to click a thing and it says, oh, well, we're going to open a new window and you're going to have to do this a different way. Like, it's a very...
it's sloppy.
It's sloppy, yes, yeah. It's for us. It's weird. It's very weird. I mean, the playlist feature, if you ever like really dive into making and organizing playlists, there are three different generations of design choices in that workflow. You know, I mean, you go to a playlist page and it's kind of the last most recent design where, you know, it looks in place, but then you go to edit a playlist and it's the previous design with some of the buttons and the organization stuff. It's just, it's not comprehensive in a way you would think the biggest video platform in the world would be. You know, playlists are supposed to be a thing, you know, a non-zero part of YouTube, and I don't know, it's frustrating.
Yeah, and playlist. Let's say I've got a video in the 47th position and I need it to be in the 7th position. Mm-hmm. Why can't I just punch in the number 7 and have it slide up to the number 7?
No, you got to click and drag it up.
And drag, but
you can't
scroll.
No, there's no scrolling.
Yeah.
Or you could, there used to be a move to top button. I don't even know that's but I'm so frustrated with
it. But chief among them all, replace video file.
It would be nice if it was like, okay, you have to keep it to the same exact length. Or I could understand, like, give me one, just if you have to have, you know, some like fake news filter thing and say like, we have to control this somehow, then make it so it's obvious when a video has been replaced and say that it has to be the same length or something.
But the funny thing is that there's no accountability for keeping the same title or thumbnail or description.
Sure.
So all of those change all the time if you wanted to.
But they're not the meat. I mean, newspapers change headlines all the time.
Sure, but I think if I watched like a totally normal video by totally normal channel, my favorite channel on YouTube. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the title is like, I like it when bad things happen good people. Uh-huh. And I'm like, but I liked this video and I don't like it when bad things happen to good people.
Yeah.
Then there's still similar problems. Although there are ways to address kind of what you're concerned about. You can analyze and assess a video.
Sure.
And then you can, I mean, they already have the tools to do that. And then you can assess which parts are the same and which parts are different. You could say maybe, oh, let's upload this new video file and then let's keep a 360p version of the bits that have changed and then keep a change log of those things. And they're like,
because the way that YouTube fundamentally works is it does keep video and audio kind of split out in that way, because that's the fundamentals of how they are able to change quality on the fly.
Yeah, and it's like there are plenty of ways to address accountability for changed video files.
Agreed.
But they have changed video files just for very large companies, right. And there has been zero accountability for disclosing that these have changed. Mm-hmm. So Apple, Google, they've very quietly changed some of their videos and just played it off real fucking cool as though nothing ever happened.
There's, like, I think Blizzard is one of the ones I know of very recently having that happen, where just they were allowed to change a video and keep the link or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's very
shady.
It's very bad. Yeah.
Give the tools to the people.
That's right. All right, let's talk about some of the videos that have come out real quick. Let's start with Flashbangs. Hey, the Flashbangs video.
Flashbangs.
Which one of you guys edited that?
Flashbangs was fun because it was kind of an experimental thing. I actually had the first rough cut of the video made by my co-producer in Los Angeles, Matt David. I sent him, we did the whole Dropbox thing and shared all the video files and all the assets. And he just went through and did a rough cut, basically like trimmed the fat. You know, so I get back to it and it's a basic layout of a basic modern Rogue video. And I just went through and cleaned it up and took it to the finish line. So It seemed to work out pretty well.
And so how much of that initial, I guess, A cut that person made, how much of it, percentage wise, of your workflow did that take away from you or take off your
plate? I would say it took at least a good like 4 or 5 hours out of my workflow time, just because, oh, good. Not only is it all laid out and set up the way that I want it set up based on my specifications, but all the trim has been fat, you know, all like first pass edit is done and all the fat is gone. And so I just have to go in there and there was a couple moments where I needed to trim it up a little more. And there was also a couple moments where I'm like, we didn't need to cut out that short. So I expanded it a little bit, but other than like, you know, just going through and tweaking and finishing it, no, it saved a lot of time. It saved at least half a day to a full day of work.
Oh, wow. So this is our first video where you had someone doing the video work.
Yeah. There's been a couple videos now, other videos where I have had the sound done by somebody else.
Right.
But this is the first one where somebody else went in and edited it based on our style guide, our Bible.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And then also, Brant, you did the sound treatment video. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
How was that? Because that was, I know when we shot it, kind of an ambiguous proposition.
Yeah, it was curious because I personally kind of felt like it didn't even really need to be a video just because we were all working, and I felt like it would have taken off a lot of pressure and stress of the day if I didn't have to worry about how I'm going to turn this weird thing into a video. But I think the video itself came out fine. Basically, you know, Brian and Jason talk in a really echoey room and then we do time lapse and then they talk in a less echoey room. I feel like our testing was kind of weird because it was sort of inconsistent in some ways. And also it was just like the different forms of the tests were pretty similar in a variety of ways. I think for us there is some benefit to let's say the dense or the dynamic mic, the Heil PR40s.
The PR40, yeah.
So like that, you really don't hear the bulk of the echo in even the before test. So for demonstrating how much echo there is, I don't think it was a really effective sound clip. Mm-hmm. But I think for us, it's such a specific use case for how we treat the room that it's beneficial to us, just not as much the audience. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. It was interesting. I made a number of visuals to kind of dress it up a little bit, and then they tossed to me to analyze it, which I'm not an audio engineer. That's not my job, and I don't have a background in editing audio or anything. Mm-hmm. Just you know what I've picked up over the years. So I tried to turn that into something that was not just me saying, yep, it sounds better, but ultimately it was kind of just me dressing up saying, yep, it sounds better.
Does it sound better?
It does.
Yes.
It doesn't sound perfect if perfect is, you know, no echo,
right.
Which is a sound. Some people in the comments were like, it gives it character and stuff. You kind of want a little bit of echo just.
Sure, but how big this room is, like, yeah. that's not a scalpel. We need to hatch it on even little improvements.
Yeah, so there was some improvement, and I felt good about being able to demonstrate that there was change.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, I'm sure there are, because I wouldn't even know necessarily what you would want to use to analyze it specifically, like, other than maybe showing it on an equalizer instead of just with the spectrograph. But even then, that's just a different version of the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think like talking about just samples and fractions of seconds, I think put it in really plain terms for people to understand.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's better than, you know, I don't know, getting really granular with, I don't even know how you would describe it.
Yeah. And if there's anything that I like, it's numbers and logging data. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. That's in my wheelhouse. So I just kind of tried to apply that here. Mm-hmm. Also, it was kind of fun too. I always like having stuff on my monitors in the background when I record stuff. Back when I used to do Scam School ads, I would put like Film Riot on monitors and just fun little things like that. So here I had two different things. One was Giant Bomb, their series Burger White Bananas, which only a couple people spotted, but it's also a premium feature, so you're automatically going to have a limited pool of people who are going to notice. And then the other one was Because Science, which a lot of people really want us to collaborate with Kyle, which would be great, but...
He's a nice guy.
Yeah?
He would do it, yeah.
Ooh, looks like it's kind of dim in there. Like maybe a few of your light bulbs went out or something.
You know... Actually, for that shot, I brought a bunch of John's lights and brought them in. Huh. Otherwise, I would be just a silhouette.
That would have been cool, too.
I would have looked very mysterious in a really great way.
And look at that doghouse system.
Yeah, that's a very fancy looking computer. Very nice.
It's back there.
All right. Also, in Modern Rogue, last Modern Rogue thing, shoots. We've had some shoots lately. But I think most specifically we want to talk about today is we did an everyday carry video or two videos.
Right.
We shot those in here. That's right.
Yep. It was a little bit less filled in.
Yes. It was pre-studio space.
Yeah.
But it was after the sound treatment. Mm-hmm. We've shot some stuff in here before. So I know we used the Heil PR40s in that sound test because those are our daily drivers with the podcasts. How has editing the audio been for the Modern Rogue stuff that we've done here? We've done ads in here. Mm-hmm. I guess the second half of the sound treatment video with the guys was post sound treatment.
Right. Yeah. I think it's mostly fine. I think if you have headphones on, you can definitely hear it a little bit, and that the way that I edit audio can make it a little bit tricky. But I think, you know, as long as you duck down the person who's not talking, you really can't hear enough of it to be bothersome at all. So I think it works well enough. And yeah, the first everyday carry comes out this Friday, and
and both of those are fun. They're we've done videos like this before of you know, let's take a look in, at a thing and just say what's in the thing.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the bug out bag, at least the first everyday carry video is.
And honestly, by the end of that video and the way that they're talking about those kits that they bought, they did just seem like bug out bags.
Yeah.
They didn't quite feel like everyday, because everyday carry is, I mean, generally not stuff you would use every day, but something you would want access to every day. You know, where some of the like health or the medical care stuff felt like this is more of an emergency kit that I would have in my car every day.
Right. I think there are different types of everyday carry. Okay. And I think some people do sort of see it as a little bit more of a, I would never need this on any given day, but it's something I would want on me every day just in case. Mm-hmm. But I think just more broadly, people on the internet tend to view everyday carry as stuff that you use every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what we were expecting. And these bags were definitely not that.
Yeah.
It's like debit card versus license. One of those you mm-hmm. always carry.
But one of those you use every day.
Right. I use my license every day.
He likes to speed.
And everything else is cash. Yeah.
On the Scam Nation side, we had... we've been pretty steady in terms of our output. We're doing videos. We actually, I'm not going to go into too much detail, especially because this video will come out. We last week, as we were recording this, or the previous week, we didn't have a new teaching video on Scam Nation. We reran the HQ video from Modern Rogue for the fundraiser. Mm-hmm. With just a different an additional intro from Brian, but we didn't run an educational video. And the short version of that is that we've had this happen a few times with Scam School, but basically the trick that we taught, we found that someone is selling a pack of tricks and that trick is included in it, mm-hmm. even though I think it's a very... It's a hard case for me to think that someone should be the only person who can know. I don't know. I'm not a magician. I don't feel any big ties to magic. So for me, it's just like, well, I don't. It's not like we're showing people how to make, you know, some big machine or some big stage effect. This is a very small handheld thing that you do. And but we ended up holding off on that video. So. Once we get to do some research and get some okays to run that video, we've got one in the bank. So that was last week. Hmm. And then we've been running a bunch of the Alan Paletti videos that we shot a few weeks back. Yeah, we ran a couple of those videos. We've got some more that are not with Alan. And we are actually doing a shoot this week as we're recording this. With Diamond Jim. Diamond Jim's back in town. He's in town for some reason. So he's like, hey, I'm here. I can do something this day. So
is that what's going down on Thursday?
Yes. Cool. That will be on Thursday. And so we'll see, because we're shooting those episodes plus something else. And I don't know how much time that other thing will take. Because mm-hmm. There's another part of that that always takes a long time, but won't be that night that place. Yeah. So Diamond Jim coming to the channel probably in the next couple of weeks. Keep an eye out for that. And then
a new set of dad jokes.
Yes. Yes. I always like his bad dad jokes. I always like them. I loved coleslaw. I loved the coleslaw thing.
Which one was coleslaw?
I don't remember the whole setup for it.
It's kind of like Murphy's Law, except it's
Cole's Law.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think someone brings up Murphy's Law and says, have you heard of Cole's Law? And they said, what's Cole's Law?
And it's like lettuce and mayonnaise. And
cabbage and mayonnaise. Yeah, and yeah. So Diamond Jim coming soon. And then American Magic is still going. I don't know how many more episodes we have left.
You don't know how many more?
I don't know how many more because... Oh. Nate Staniford is doing all the production on it, so we just receive them as he does them. But this episode was supposed to go out like an hour and a half ago. The episode for today is him in Las Vegas with Rick Lax, I believe, the big Facebook magician. And it's a really interesting talk because I had seen YouTube videos about his work and kind of they're very basic things. They're in a lot of cases not necessarily even what I would consider magic.
You're saying that his magic lacks something?
Oh, because his name, yes. Oh.
Once again, we'll just add the audience laughter.
That's right. An editor's note here. Yeah. And but hearing him talk about it adds another element to it, you know, because at the end of the day, right, like I think that stuff is generally pretty corny and you're not going to astound someone. You're not going to astound me with any of that stuff because you're just doing math. I know the math. I know the order of operations, but you're not going to. But there are kids. There are people who don't, you know, don't love puzzles and stuff like I do. So I get it. I get that we're all trying to entertain somebody, even if it's not the person in the conversation. So yeah, that's American Magic.
Yay.
Keep an eye. He's in this one takes place in Vegas, so he's got to be done soon.
If he ends up in Vegas, it's got
to
be
well because he's going from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Oh,
so
he's just gonna start zigzagging up and down,
take the long way through North Dakota.
Once he hits Washington.
So yeah, so hey, that's all of our topics for the day. Let's do a little bit of any little off-topic stuff that's been going on. John, real quick, what's going on with you?
Bryce, have you finished Undone?
No, I've watched two episodes.
Oh Lord,
of the
okay. Well, I
Amazon
don't want
original series. I don't want to
spoil anything. Basically, because I thought the show was fantastically made. Mm-hmm. I thought the acting was great. The writing was great. The animation was beautiful. The dialogue, like this guy, what is his name? Creator of BoJack Horseman.
Oh, is it Waksberg? The creator of BoJack Horseman.
BoJack Horseman. He his dialogue is unparalleled. Yeah. Raphael Bob Waksberg.
There you go, Bob Waksberg.
My issue with this, no spoilers, is just the way the story ends kind of gives an ideology. Mm-hmm. And it is that upper middle class white surrounding Whole Foods ideology of medicine, Western medicine equal bad, poor indigenous culture equal wisdom. Just that kind of bullshit you get from people who can afford to live with that kind of bullshit in their lives. Mm. And that's what I got from it. And it bothered me.
Interesting. Because I watched the second episode, which pretty much sets up all tries to set up the conceit of the conflict, I'm understanding, or at least gets right up to the edge of setting that conceit. And there is room for like a weird, like spiritual supernatural element to it. I didn't realize there was like a holistic element to it.
It's interesting. Cause it could go either way. Like, I think it's kind of already dug its, because I mean, I assume there's going to be a second season just because the way it ends, but I think it's already kind of dug its heels in by the end of the first season. But maybe I'm wrong. Hmm. Maybe he will surprise me.
Yeah. What if the second season undoes the first season? What?
I don't know what you mean. I don't know what that.
Okay. Brant, anything for you?
So I readjusted my sleep schedule.
Okay.
Long-time viewers of the show
have heard this before.
Yeah.
So now, are you trying to get back on a normal cycle, or are you getting off of a normal cycle?
I've slightly overshot a normal cycle, but I'm close enough that I can still reel it back. So previously, I would go to sleep at anywhere from 6 to 8 a.m. and then wake up at like 3 p.m., 4 p.m., something like that, and real chaotic. Sort of schedule.
Yeah.
And a lot of working through the nights. So last week I decided, hey, you know what? I'm just feeling like having a normal schedule. And there are two ways to go about it. Either you can roll your schedule back or you can push it forward.
Push it forward.
Last week I pushed it forward, which is a great way to go about it if you have the flexibility of schedule to do it.
Sure.
So
that means staying up longer
and sleeping more.
Oh, okay. Great.
So just for example, when did you wake up today?
Today I woke up at probably 11 or so.
Okay.
But
that's about the time I got out of bed.
Yeah, but the past few days I had been waking up at 10 or so.
Yeah.
And yeah, like last week it was a lot of waking up at 1 a.m. And just having a real long day, and it's always really fun waking up early if you don't have to immediately rush off to work or whatever. And yeah, it's like last week I got more sleep on average per day than I have on average for the past year or whatever.
Wow.
Just because it's like I have all of the time to push my schedule forward and just get 9 or 10 hours of sleep instead of 6 or 7.
Yeah. When I was sitting at the studio last week, so it basically took place over Thursday and Friday to get 99% of this done.
Mm-hmm.
And on that the Friday, when I got, so both of those were very long days. It was like 22 hours between both days. Friday I got home at like 1 a.m. I guess on Saturday technically, and then slept like 14 hours. Like I couldn't let myself get out of bed until like 4 or 5 p.m. And then I was doing a stream that night, and then when I finished it, I pretty much went to bed. So it was it's good to have the flexibility in your schedule to make changes like that.
I've been pretty much getting up at 10 a.m. like every day for the last few months, and I know why. It's because my community center has free espresso and they don't open up until after 9.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
But yeah, for me, the big barrier is always Thursday night edits, where it's like if I feel like I need to push through the night to finish the edit by Friday morning, then it totally skews everything and throws me off again. So I feel like I've been doing better about saying, it's okay for this video to not go out at 10 a.m. and instead I will get some sleep and then I will edit through the morning and afternoon and then it'll just go up later on Friday. And that allows me to kind of keep my sleep schedule in check. I've been getting tired at midnight and I'm like, whoa. usually what would happen is it would be like 6 a.m. and I wouldn't even really be tired necessarily. I would just say I cannot keep staying up later than I currently am. So I'm forcing myself to go to sleep. I'm wondering if I heard somebody talking the other day about having a non 24-hour circadian rhythm.
I have the same thing. I do this exact same thing that you do every now and then. But so there's a pineal gland like issue. They did an MRI and it's like slightly calcified, and they're like, oh, you probably just like don't get the melatonin release at the time when other people do when the sun goes down. And so,
So you have just this drifting sleep schedule.
Yeah, I'll do the exact same thing. Like it'll get to a point where it's no longer functional, and then I'll go, I have to like actually step in and push it forward and do the thing to reset it.
Wow.
And then yes, there's generally a time where it's like everything's working out great, but the slightest thing on one day can set it
just
back
into off balance.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing struggle.
So no Xanax in this crowd either, I assume.
No, I do take melatonin. I will take melatonin when I'm trying to regulate my sleep schedule.
That's why you're looking so flush.
What's that?
That's why
melatonin
you're so
flush.
Yeah. All right, Jacob or David, anything off topic going on lately? Nothing.
Nothing I care to share.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, though.
David, watching any TV shows or anything?
Pass, please.
I guess I don't. I got Apple Arcade on the phone, on the iPhone. It's very nice. There's a lot of really good stuff in there. And the fact that it's so cheap and that it's like original content, I mentioned this a little bit on one of the podcasts where, because you're paying for this like buffet style service, when you play these really good short narrative games, like, there's this really good game, Assemble with Care, which is only 2 hours, maybe. And it's not difficult at all, but it tells a little story. It tells it really well. The interactive portions are good, But it's the type of game where you still have to put so much care into making any video game, especially one like that, that you would have to pay $2 or $3 on an app store to play it. And I've been burnt by that on the past with like, hey, this is a really good game. I liked playing it. It was only 2 hours and I spent $3 on it and I feel like I wasted my money. It sours, it is an outside force souring
because it took
to work.
Too little time?
Because it didn't feel like a good use of my money after the fact. You know, it felt like, well, I could have spent $3 on like...
a taco from Taco Bell?
On two tacos from Taco Bell or like coins in another video game or something, like premium currencies, whatever.
Best value.
Yes. And so this kind of erases that feeling a little bit. It kind of erases that feeling of not getting a good use out of your money, because there's like 60 games at least right now, and almost all of them have been really good. There's some that are like really kid and family friendly that maybe I'm not super gelling with, but there's a good variety and some really good stuff in there. So yeah, I big recommendation for Apple Arcade.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, my clothes haven't been fitting lately. Yeah.
You've been putting on some weight?
A little bit.
Ah.
When I went on that thyroid medication a couple of years ago, like I was trapped at like 125 pounds for years and years.
Oh no, how horrible.
Yeah, but then I messed up my arms lifting up that desk up to the third floor or whatever. Oh, and yeah. So I went to the doctor and they were like, "Hey dude, your thyroid like is way overactive. This is not how your body is supposed to work."
Yeah.
So I went on medication, I started putting on pounds, and then they doubled my medication increased it. All the way up to double, but
yeah.
And then put on a little bit more weight, and it's unfortunate because a couple of years ago I got real into buying a whole bunch of new clothes because I was like, I've just been wearing the same clothes I've been wearing since high school.
Yeah.
And so now it's like I've got all these relatively new clothes that are a bit more snug than they once were when I got them. I can't wear a bunch of pants that I bought anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm in that phase of life also. Yeah, and not medication based or anything. Just I've been trying to do a little bit more exercising at my apartment's gym, and overall it's been a good experience, especially because it's open 24/7, so I can just go whenever. But then still, some other people go.
Well, I've also put on 5 to 10 pounds since I moved out to Texas.
Yeah,
because before I moved here, I didn't own a car for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I cycled everywhere, but I also got hit by a van a year ago, and that lawsuit will be settling, hopefully, fingers crossed, in like 4 or 5 weeks. Mm. And at that point, I will feel much more comfortable getting back on my bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting old. We're getting old. I mean, I'm turning 30 next year.
Wow.
I actually weighed
behind, right? Or you're not too far behind, Brant.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Yeah.
So. Well, I weighed what I weighed in high school, which I was a little chunkier in high school.
I don't think anybody asked you. this show, anything else? Anything else real good? Everybody good?
All right.
This show is called The Bizarre Briefing. You just listened to it. Find more at bizarrebriefing.com. That's where you can find past episodes, time codes, links, all sorts of good stuff. You can also watch us in video at youtube.com/scamstuff. We actually have a playlist there for it. It's still the bad playlist system, but you can watch it in a playlist. That's youtube.com/scamstuff. Plugs, let's go around the horn. Do plugs already. Jacob, anything you want to plug?
I actually have a podcast with my roommate.
Oh, no kidding. What's it called? What should we vote for?
It's called Midnight Snacks. Super original name. Can you guess what time it starts?
Hang on a second.
So, that sucks because I have an 8 a.m. class twice a week.
Ooh.
And stream plans on midnight sometimes. But
yeah.
Our schedule is terrible, and I don't think we've streamed for like over a month at this point.
It's a good sell.
But feel free to check it out. Go ahead and hit the follow if you want. Maybe it'll come back.
Is that a Twitch channel or a podcast? Twitch Midnight Snacks.
Yes, just the two words.
David, any plugs?
No, just a lot of bleach.
Okay.
There we go.
Nope. I mean, you know, I'm taking a trip. That's not really a plug.
Look for me.
Yeah, I'll be out there doing the thing.
Yeah, and then really the only place I'm active anymore is Instagram at David Rowan.
There you go, R-O-W-Y-N.
R-O-W-Y-N, yeah. John? Technically I have Twitters, but you know.
You haven't tweeted much lately.
Yeah.
John?
Oh, all the social stuff at Skeptically Pwned.
Skeptically Pwned, there we go.
P-W-N-E-D.
No E, I don't believe in silent letters.
Oh, okay.
Oh, P-W-N-D.
But you do have a W.
I don't know that it's necessarily silent. It's just not making a W sound.
You need the W, otherwise it's on.
It's on. But you have a P too.
How dare you?
Just well, okay.
Branch plugs.
P-S-W-H-N.
Yeah, like the fish hook. Uh-huh.
Well, no silent X's. Brant?
You can find me on Twitter at Gatowag, G-A-T-O-W-A-G. I don't post much, but I read a lot. Same with Instagram and the Modern Rogue Show at Instagram, which Brian now knows that we have, which I guess he didn't know about.
We were on a shoot the past episode, and he goes, do we have an Instagram?
And I'm like, I've been tagging you in photos for 2.5 years on that service.
What was it we were doing? We were doing a stream. He was promoting that we were doing the podcast on Monday, and he goes, check out all our podcasts at twitch.tv/nightattackshow. I had a text and I'm like,
love it. Gotta love it.
Or no, it was our last one from his house. That was it. That's why it was happening. But yeah. Awesome.
But also the Twitter Modern Rogue Show.
Yeah. And the Instagram Modern Rogue Show.
Yeah.
There you go. You handle both of those. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at Brycas, B-R-Y-C-A-S. I'm Neshcom, N-E-S-H-C-O-M on Instagram. I also do the Scam Nation Show accounts on Twitter and Instagram. One more time, this show, bizarrebriefing.com, youtube.com/scamstuff is where you can find it. Search us in your podcatchers, Overcast, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and you'll find us. We record the show live at twitch.tv/nightattack about the end of the month, about the previous month. So check us out there, follow us on all the things, and until next month, bye.
Bye.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.